Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
9 o'clock in the great city of Chicago with Jonathan Hood. Shay Norling is our executive producer. JR has the day off. And what's his name?
Cantu.
Charlie Cantu.
Yes.
The other producer.
That's exactly right.
I think it's Jake.
Huh?
I don't even know what my name is anymore. No,
it is someone Jake Cantu.
On Twitch over the weekend, someone went, hey, it's Jake from State Street. Not there Farm.
Jake from State Street.
Yeah.
Jake Cantu is our other producer today.
Yeah. Comedy's hard to find, especially on Twitch.
There you go. So, first week of Bears camp is in the books. We'll get to that in a minute. The breaking news that hit in our first few minutes was Deshaun Watson has been suspended for 6 games by arbitrator Judge Sue L. Robinson. Now the ball is in the NFL's court. They have not yet said what they're going to do. Their options are accept the punishment, the 6 games, move on, or on the new collective bargaining agreement, the league could say, we're going to appeal this. If they appeal, Roger Goodell or his designee becomes the sole arbiter. And whatever they decide, that is law. The only recourse then Deshaun Watson would have would be a messy, expensive legal battle where he would be tied up in court suing the league.
Not a good idea. Probably not a good idea. My initial reaction to it, Cap, was that 6 is too light.
Correct.
And that Roger Goodell will put the screws to it. And I don't know how many games that is. But in the random wheel of justice of the National Football League, who knows? Maybe where I think it should be a year, maybe it could be 10 or 12.
Correct.
Who knows? All I know is, and when I say random wheel of justice, people might be confused. If you've just watched Roger Goodell in his tenure as commissioner in the NFL, we've seen suspensions all over the place. Now, I understand that Roger Goodell's dealing with stuff, Cap, that other commissioners have not or swept under the rug or turned a blind eye to. But this is the same National Football League that suspended Terrell Pryor 5 games for free tattoos he received at Ohio State. Okay, and this is what I'm talking about. Did that make any sense to you at the time?
No.
I mean, that's an incident that happened in college, and that's just free tattoos. He gets suspended in the National Football League for. Why? It's just been the oddest thing in the Goodell administration. More than 24 accusations of sexual assault, harassment, and improper behavior could get you the same thing. Maybe 5 or 6 games.
Let me read you these recent suspensions.
Think about what I just told you.
You're correct.
The random wheel of justice.
Correct.
Who knows what it's going to be? Does it feel like 5? Does it feel like 7? 9? All I know is that what he did was out of bounds. What he's accused of. And
there's got to be more on the prior thing that we don't know. Has to be, right?
That's all we knew as far as that story, is that he did not pay for tattoos and got suspended by the NFL. That's all we know.
Here are the recent suspensions. Calvin Ridley is out this entire year, 17 games for betting a $1,500 parlay when he was out with injury.
You're not supposed to bet.
You're not allowed to gamble on football. That is like the cardinal rule.
There's a sign. Suspended. There's a sign in the building.
In every locker room. Yep. I've been in there, so have you.
Yep.
No gambling.
Yep.
Vontaze Burfict, 12 games for excessive targeting because he kept doing it, trying to hurt people. The linebacker for the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
DeAndre Hopkins, PEDs, 6 games. Martavius Bryant, indefinite because he was using weed at the time, was illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Gordon, 25-plus games for smoking weed.
Multiple infractions with that, right?
Correct. Darren Waller, 16 games for substance abuse. Deshaun Watson, 6 games. But now, again, that was not the league doing that. That was the arbitrator.
6 seems light. And all I can tell you is the facts. And I know that everyone's not in the facts now. In 2022, you know, it's feelings over facts. But I don't know. I'm old school. I still like the facts. And when we see 25 civil lawsuits, Cap, Watson settling 23 of the 24 lawsuits, there's only one pending right now. These are all payoffs.
Correct.
In your gut, by the way, in your gut, and your father was an attorney,
mm-hmm.
in your gut, when you see payoffs, ultimately you want the story, you want the case to go away, don't you? Isn't that
correct.
What it is?
But everyone comes with a non-disclosure. Here's the money. You can't say anything, or we get the money back and we can go after you.
When you have that many women accusing you of something, some of the same things, Cap, then to me, the first thing that comes to mind for me is, man, this guy needs some help. But the Browns don't see it that way. You know they saw this coming down the pike. You know that. Now, here's what you asked me last hour. You said, hey, the Browns are supposed to know what was going on. They did their investigation.
They never talked to one of the accusers. Not one.
Don't you think you would have done that, your due diligence to find out what's going on, or isn't it their place?
I would think. I can't understand why they didn't. I would think they had to have done that, and they said they did not. I don't know why. There has to be more to it. It's too simple. Robert is up at Green Bay, Wisconsin. Robert, what's your thoughts on the suspension?
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Rob.
I got mixed in emotionals about it because it's one, yeah, he did it or he didn't do it. Because you're a sports figure, you're out in the public, most of these people want to get your money, look at Kobe Bryant, for example. I know, like, that time in Denver, how this girl accused him of rape and this and that.
Denver.
And come to find out that she just wanted his money because he was a big, famous guy. To me, if these juries did not indict him, saying, well, he didn't do this and stuff like that, well, the law says he didn't do it. So I don't think, yeah, the punishment is 6 games. Okay, we knew that was going to happen. It's just like Kyler Ridley
mm-hmm.
getting suspended for who doesn't bet on sports?
Yeah, that to me is irrelevant. It is clear in every locker room, no gambling. Now, an NBA player can bet on football, but he cannot bet on his own sport. No gambling, period, on your sport. You can't do it.
Yeah. And I don't know. And my other thing is, look at what happened to Robert Craffrey. He was in the exact same situation as Deshaun Watson. He was in Miami at this, massage parlor.
Yep.
And they got raided and stuff like that. Getting, his on the side, and we didn't hear nothing about him.
Correct. We appreciate your call, Robert. Thanks for weighing in. Look, they should have suspended Robert Kraft.
Kaftree,
right, whatever.
Did you hear, too, he had mixed emotionals?
Yes, I heard that.
So, look, should they have suspended him? Yes. Did they drop the ball, and should they have done more to Dan Snyder? Yes. And by those two not getting any type of punishment, that likely, according to legal experts, affected Deshaun Watson's punishment.
Mm-hmm.
So, 312-332-3776. So that is the first time we played the breaking news sounder. Was this morning, if you're just getting in the car. Deshaun Watson's been given 6-game suspension by the arbitrator, former judge Sue L. Robinson. But now the league can appeal, and then Roger Goodell or his designee becomes the final part of the justice. So we'll see. You think the league appeals?
Yeah, I think that it'll be more than the games that was levied or suggested by Judge Robinson. It'll be more than that. But, Cap, I guess my bottom line on all of this is, does it matter? Does it matter? If it's 6 games, 8 games, is it 10 games? Deshaun Watson will get a chance to throw a football again. And he has every right to, because he has every right to work. But I'm more concerned about the individual. That not only those that filed civil lawsuits against Deshaun Watson, but Watson himself. I mean, I'm concerned about his mental state. Why does he need this to happen for him? Again, one is too many. 25? 25? That's a ton. And even if you think, oh, some of these women are lying on him. Well, even if it's one, it's too many.
Agreed.
Okay, so what happens from there? Like from the Browns' standpoint, they couldn't care less about his mental state. Is he going to go through therapy? Will he be able to speak on the record? Like, and I'm not going to say that his case and Michael Vick are the same, but Vick came out whole. He went through everything he had to go through, going to jail and talk to people about it. He's gone through therapy for it, and he's good, right? But what about Deshaun Watson? What's he going to do about this situation in his personal life?
Maybe he's been going through it. His girlfriend has stayed with him. Are they married now? I don't know if they're married.
I don't know.
But I know that his significant other, they're still together. Taylor, our guy in Hyde Park. Hey, Taylor.
That's it.
Go ahead, Taylor.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Honestly, I think the 6 games is too much. What he did was probably wrong. But you have to look at it. He already sat out a whole year last year. I know
that was his call. Mandated. That was not by the league.
That was not by his league. I don't know if probably is the right phrase. Like, what he did was probably wrong. 25 civil lawsuits doing the same thing, probably?
Jay Hood, legally we don't know because there was no criminal investigation. So you can't sit here and put a criminal act on him and say he's guilty when we don't know. I mean, in this country, you are innocent until proven guilty, and technically never been proven guilty.
Then in that case, I keep my money in my pocket. I'd fight all of these women saying that.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, no, you can't do that because then that's more legal fees. And to have it go away, I think is way more important from a legal standpoint. So when you talk about that standpoint, the issue that I have is with the NFL itself. You have owners who literally have flown in to rub and tug places on video and have not gotten anything. You have owners that are video recording cheerleaders and have been racially accused of racial remarks and all this other stuff,
right,
and discriminatory acts, and get nothing. Meanwhile, you have a guy who's not guilty technically by law, and he's getting 6 games. He's already served a year sitting out of the NFL. And so from my standpoint, I think 6 games is a lot. Now, I also think the arbiter chose 6 games so Roger Goodell could look like the hero and give him 8 games, or give him 10 games, or give him 12 games. And now Roger Goodell is seen as this hero, mythical figure of, I'm now strong on my players. But in reality, the owners, I mean, this is ridiculous. Robert Kraft flew his private jet, got caught on video, on FBI video, and he gets nothing.
You're talking about Robert Kraft, right? You're talking about Robert Kraft, right?
What are you talking about?
But I know, but Taylor, from your standpoint, you know you're involved with a female. It did not happen. You know it's wrong. You're fighting that, aren't you? You're not paying her off. Aren't you saying
not at all. If I have $250 million at stake and at risk, I don't want any court documents coming out. I don't want anything that looks like I can have a chance of being seen as guilty amongst the public eye. Give her $2 million or $1 million or $500,000 and make it go away. My NDA is disclosed. No information comes out, whether it's here or there. That's the smartest thing to do legally.
All right. Hey, man, we got to roll. We appreciate your call.
No doubt, guys. Love you guys.
Have a good day.
And
you too.
NDAs, you know, it's going to be non-disclosure, but eventually it comes out. As Vince McMahon, do they come out?
Correct. 312-332-3776. We'll get to more of your calls. Courtney Cronin, our Bears insider, on the latest goings-on with Justin Fields, Tevin Jenkins, and more. Be right back.
It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow the show on Twitter at CapJHood. This is ESPN 1000.
Rolling on CapJHood, ESPN 1000, The Greeny Show at 10, Carm and Yerk at New Waddle, and Sylvie at 2. Black and Abdallah, shortened show into White Sox baseball, 6:30 tonight. Connor's pregame, and then the White Sox and the Kansas City Royals tonight over at Guaranteed Rate Field. And if you'd like to go to the Football Fest at Hard Rock Casino, guess what? You can register. ESPNFootballFest.com. ESPNFootballFest.com. Going to have Field Yates, Adam Schefter, all the great ESPN personalities that you want, and it's going to be a whole lot of fun. We'll get back to your calls on Deshaun Watson. Courtney Cronin is our Bears insider. Courtney, grade Justin Fields' first week in camp from A to F. How would you grade him?
Probably a B minus, C plus. I think that since this offense is such a work in progress, there have been some really strong moments. Obviously, that I think it was the second day of practice when he hit Mooney in 11-on-11 for the ball that Mooney had to go a little high for, but still showing off their connection. And then that seam route that Cole Kmet ran in 7-on-7 was a great pass, and that gives you the hope and the belief that all the work that he's been putting in with these guys in the offseason will pay off. And the last practice we saw before pads come on today was on Saturday when he and Bayless Jones had a couple nice moments. But, you know, there's been some execution issues with the offense. There's been, you know, a couple false starts here and there. He and David Montgomery didn't have a great connection at the mesh point the other day, and there was, you know, a dropped ball. Like, and some of his receivers are dropping passes too. So I think it's where you expect it to be right now, which I know people want to see a finished product. It's August 1st, so I kind of caution people, and you should temper expectations a little bit because he's still learning this offense. I don't think that we're going to know, okay, he's either got it or he doesn't have it until probably like the third week of training camp when they've been in pads for a little bit and we can see how he handles pressure and how the execution looks when there are, you know, guys that are able to get after the quarterback a little bit in practice. Obviously, they can't hit him, but you get what I mean.
Courtney, it's so important for this offensive line to be as solid as possible for Justin Fields, for him to roll out of the pocket, be able to do the things he wants to do. But I need to know the latest on Tevin Jenkins, because the Jenkins and Borum were big storylines coming in because they're young players. What about Tevin Jenkins and where he fits in the offense and what's going on with him personally?
Well, it's interesting because the last time we saw him was the first day when they're effectively in walkthrough. No pads, no nothing, and he was the swing tackle that day. So with the first team O-line is what it looked like at that point. This is before, like, Riley Reiff and Michael Schofield were getting mixing in with the ones. They were in a ramp-up period because they literally just signed a week ago. But we saw Tevin Jenkins as, you know, the extra lineman, whether it would be in, you use those situations either at the goal line, when they go heavy formation, what have you. And I think that that's a little concerning. And Matt Eberflus has been saying all offseason that the competitions are open at a lot of different spots and that, you know, they want to try Jenkins. They're, you know, kind of not committing to where he's going to play, but, like, keeping him open and keeping him in mind for different spots, including the swing tackle. That was one spot that I asked him about after I saw that. But then Jenkins hasn't been out there. So, and what Eberflus was saying is that it's a day-to-day thing. He's working through something, whatever it is, with trainers. I think it's probably a little concerning because the last time we saw him out there, did you pull something in walkthrough? Like, that's not a good sign if something like that happens. You'd understand if it happens in pads, but, you know, just like we saw with Lucas Patrick injuring his hand out there when they're not even going full speed yet. So with Jenkins, if this ends up lingering on, there's going to be more questions about it, about him and where he fits. But I think at this point, you know, it looks like he's going to be in a backup role because even though it is still very early in camp, unless he's able to make some sort of considerable run and a jump, you know, Larry Borum has been the only right tackle with the first team the entire training camp that we've seen so far. I mean, yeah, they've been mixing in guys at other spots, but Borum has been that guy. So I anticipate that if you're looking at, you know, who's ahead, it's certainly him, and Jenkins probably has a lot of catching up to do.
So I am hearing that it's not a serious physical issue, that there is a high level of disconnect between Tevin Jenkins and Chris Morgan, the new offensive line coach, and the offensive coaching staff. And as one person I trust said to me, he's incredibly soft mentally, but he's incredibly talented physically. Have you heard anything about, I'm not saying he's AWOL, but he's kind of.
I had somebody text me on another team being like, is your team shopping Tevin Jenkins? Because it's weird when a second-round pick from a year ago is not participating in practice, and you think, like, okay, well, they're saying that he's dealing with something with trainers. Well, what did he really do? But I haven't actually heard that they are shopping him. Like, I think that idea is just being floated out there because his absence is kind of noticeable right now. I think that we could figure out early on how this current regime feels about Tevin Jenkins, because the last one certainly thought he could be your franchise left tackle of the future. And I know he underwent back surgery. I know that he was in a spot where he, you know, only got like 157 snaps at left tackle last year, later in the season, but it didn't feel like he was going to stick there this year. When Braxton Jones came in right after rookie minicamp and was already, you know, working his way to taking those first team left tackle reps, and you see Tevin Jenkins move to the second team at right tackle, I think that that's an indication that this current staff doesn't feel about the player the same way that the last staff did. So there's rumblings, there's all that stuff, and I mean, the questions will continue to come in more, you know, in full force if he doesn't end up practicing this week, and we can't figure out if there is a legitimate reason why, or if it is because the team and him do have some sort of disconnect, and maybe they might be trying to move him.
What's the latest on the secondary that you noticed, or anything in particular defensively that resonated with you?
Yeah, the rookies have looked really good. I think, you know, Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker had interceptions in the red zone period on Friday, and I think it's important to note that that comes against the first-team offense, you know, in Justin Fields. It's not like they're, you know, picking off Nathan Peterman and we're making a huge deal about it. Like, it's the starting quarterback, and they're both really good players. I know with Gordon, they've been cross-training him at nickel and outside, and, you know, the plan was, allegedly, you know, Alan Williams told us we're going to try to get him proficient as an outside corner, and then we'll see where we can mix him in. This was after the spring. And then when I asked Matt Eberflus about that the other day, he's like, oh, no, we knew all along he was going to be playing nickel. So take with that what you will. And it makes sense, though, because so many guys now that play in the slot in college, like, it used to be this position that, I don't know, not an afterthought, but, you know, guys want to be outside, lockdown corners, the whole thing. But now most teams are in nickel a major portion of the game because that's the way that the league's trending, where you have three wide receiver sets. I mean, you're not nickel when they're running 22 personnel. Like, you're in nickel when it's 11, when, you know, they've got three wide receivers and you have tight ends that can, you know, be a big part of the passing game. And I think for Kyler Gordon, like, he's going to have a really considerable role in this defense, but that opens up another, if he ends up in the slot where we thought it was going to be like the Thomas Graham and Tavon Young battle. Graham hasn't been out there for a couple days due to some injury, and, you know, it feels like that's kind of Gordon's job to lose right now. It's going to be open something else up outside. And then with Brisker, I mean, he's a tremendous talent bar, and you can kind of see the ways that they're going to use him, because he's been up at the line. He's been, you know, obviously he likes playing in the box, so that's a comfortable spot for him. And he can roam, which I think is so great for Eddie Jackson, because so much of his bounce back year this year is going to be dependent on what that rookie opposite him does, which is why I think he's taken like a really personal interest in making sure that, you know, Brisker's up to speed. We've heard about some of those film sessions that they've done at Eddie Jackson's house together. And I think it's a good thing in terms of building that off-season, that continuity together in the off-season, so the communication can be seamless when the season actually starts.
Courtney, appreciate all the knowledge. Enjoy camp today, and we'll talk to you later in the week.
All right, I'll see you guys Friday. Take care.
Have a great day. There you go. Courtney Cronin, our Bears insider. She does an awesome job for ESPN 1000 and for ESPN.com. More of your calls on Deshaun Watson. We got Liz and Space and Mark and Paulie. The phone lines are locked and loaded. People want to talk. We want to hear from you. 312-332-3776. O'Reilly Auto Parts, here to keep your car on the road with the right parts. Advice from their professional parts people and their free loaner tool program. There's no need to purchase a tool if you're only going to use it once. Your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store has more than 80 specialty tools available to rent for your next repair. Refundable deposit is required at the time of rental. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and ask about their free loaner tool program. Or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Thank you.
Rolling on Cap J Hood, ESPN 1000, talking to Deshaun Watson. We just got done talking Bears with the great Courtney Cronin. She's awesome. Watch us on Twitch today and every day at twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Listen to us on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2 on your FM dial or the ESPN Chicago app. Let's go to the phones. Liz is in Beverly. She joins us next. Hey, Liz.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're well, thank you.
I was just listening and hearing everybody compare Deshaun Watson and Robert Kraft, and it was kind of bothering me because they're really not the same situation. Robert Kraft went to a massage parlor that gives a happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
So that massage therapist knew what was going to happen.
True.
Deshaun Watson sought out massage therapists that don't do things like that and put them in a situation where they felt like they had to. That is completely different. If Robert Kraft went to Nevada instead of Florida, it wouldn't have been a crime.
It's just part of the whataboutism that is bothersome to me. Instead of just locking in on the case of Deshaun Watson, we have to be able to use these parallels. Now, the only parallel that I'll make is just talking about the type of punishment that Roger Goodell has doled out over the years. But as far as incidents and crimes or non-crimes, my focus is on Deshaun Watson, the person, and then the victims of these lawsuits.
Don't disagree with either of you. However, judges use that to look at precedent. Well, Robert Kraft actually, he was charged, and then everything got dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Kraft was not suspended. Dan Snyder has had multiple problems. The league has not disciplined him, but now we want the random wheel of justice to smash Deshaun Watson. That's how the judge, the arbiter, is looking at it, Liz. But I agree with you. The cases are totally different.
Yes, they are.
Very different, and it definitely proves that Deshaun Watson is, at the very least, a creep.
He's a creep. No question about it.
And how much is a creep worth in the NFL? 8 games? 10? Right? Where's the creep meter for you, Liz?
I don't have a good answer to that one.
Mm-hmm. Have a great day. Thanks for your call.
And this is where Roger Goodell's got to determine.
No question.
But it's still predatory, Cap.
No question.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I completely agree. 312-332-3776.
What did Andrew Brandt say?
Andrew Brandt, who has worked for the Green Bay Packers, he is now an analyst. He has a legal background. He's a lawyer. The idea that Deshaun Watson served a de facto suspension in Houston last year is folly because we had a call like that. Well, he sat out all last year. People, he did not want to play for the Texans, told them, I'm never playing for you again, and was paid to not do so. That is not a suspension. Please. Mm. So, just so we're clear, he didn't sit out last year because the league wanted him to sit out. No. Mm. That was his call that he was never going to play for the Houston Texans, and then all this stuff started. Let's go to Paulie up in Lake Forest. Hey, Paulie, what's up, man?
Hey, guys, great show.
Hey, Paulie.
I'm glad Liz was on before me. I wanted to hear a female point of view, and I heard Courtney. Well, she hasn't talked about it, but I've heard about her on other shows. Boy, oh, boy, what a hypocritical cesspool of scum the NFL is, right? And I got to tell you this. There's been this Me Too movement going on for 6 years, destroying people's lives over things they said that were interpreted misogynistically. Let alone what Deshaun Watson did to these women. You were right, Hoodie. Predatory is the word, man. And to get 6 games for that? I mean, if any woman patronizes, buys a jersey, plays in a pool, watches a game of football this year, you are a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. And you shouldn't look at yourself in the mirror. Okay? You guys know I'm a bookmaker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stepping aside. I'm letting people run it. That's not virtuous, but I'm a hypocrite too because I'm going to still take advantage of it monetarily. But for a woman to even watch a game, my God, Cappy, I want to know what your wife is going to say about this.
Yes,
I want to know.
My wife will not have anything to do with a guy like that. She will not. Now, she's not a huge NFL fan. She prefers college football.
Mm-hmm.
But my wife thinks it's, she said, you know, if you want to go spend your money on that, God bless. My wife had a problem when the Cubs got Chapman.
Yeah, Rolas Chapman.
She said, I get it. It's 3 months and they're not going to re-sign him. And I guess at some point, like Theo said, it's time. It's time to try and win. She understood, but it bothered her 100%.
All right, my friend.
Paulie, thanks, man. Have a great day.
You too.
See ya.
Hey, you know what? This falls also under the umbrella of I'm not going to tell you how to fan. If there's a female Cleveland Browns fan that knows good and damn well what Deshaun Watson involved himself into, if you want to wear a Watson jersey and you want to go to Cleveland, that's on you.
Correct.
I can't tell you how to fan.
You have every right.
But because understand this, and I think we all, it needs to be said out loud in a clear voice. There are some that will look at sports, Cap, mm-hmm. that will look at fandom, and that is more important than everyday lives or someone else's life.
Mm-hmm.
Will my player play? Thumbs up or thumbs down? Will my team win the championship? Thumbs up or thumbs down? Because there are so many people that have so many issues in their life that they rely on sports talk, to be able to get away from the everyday problems. And so because of that, so many people hold on to sports, that meaning that no matter what that player did, if he plays for my team, he's all right with me.
Correct.
And that's the same thing we had with Chapman, right? There was a problem for you and for Sylvie trying to figure out, well, okay, now this guy was involved with domestic abuse. How do I handle this? Well, you're a Cubs fan. He's a part of your team. You may not like him. You may not root for him, but you root for the Cubs.
When I was there the
right?
first night, you're exactly right. I was there when he made his debut at Guaranteed Rate, met the media, and that whole circus. But the first game he pitched at Wrigley, the first game, Hollinsworth and I are down there by the camera well, right to the end of the dugout, because we're going to do the post game on the field. And Holly and I are down there, and here comes Chapman. He's warming up because it was still on the foul lines. It was not under the stands. Mm-hmm. And everyone is filming it, and then here he comes. Now pitching for the Cubs, Aroldis Chapman. And I'm looking, and Holly and I are going, Hollinsworth and I are looking, going, hold on a second. Look at all these people, men, women, children, holding up their iPhones and videoing him as he's hitting 102 on the gun.
Yep.
It was electric.
That's exactly
in there.
Right.
Everyone's like, yeah, whatever. He's our guy now.
Right. Because the fans know. Another example away from this is the ovation that Wilson Contreras got at Wrigley Field.
Yep.
It was one of his first at-bats, is one of his final at-bats. He's there. He gets a base hit on that first pitch. I watched it. Fans know, because they knew this might be the last time we see him.
Correct.
To a man, woman, and child, they knew that this might be the last time we see Wilson Contreras in this homestand.
Correct.
As a Cub.
Correct.
So it's not like people don't know. Everybody knows, Cap. Everybody knows. It's how you handle it.
Totally.
So
312-332-3776. Phone lines are locked and loaded. More of your calls. And if you'd like to go to the football fest at the Hard Rock Casino, it's coming up on the 20th of August. Register for free. Tickets are available at ESPNFootballFest.com. You cannot just show up. You must register, but it's free. ESPNFootballFest.com. That is... And the Cap J Hood Cut of the Day, brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Next.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
I heard you on the wireless back in 52. Lying awake intently tuning in on you. If I was young, it didn't stop you coming.
Rolling on Cap J Hood on ESPN 1000. Shay Norling is our executive producer. Charlie Cantu. No, it's Jake. Jake Cantu is our other producer today. JR has the day off. He's
partying.
Come down from Lollapalooza all weekend.
And we hear the music of Video Killed the Radio Star, because this is the anniversary for MTV. Started 1981.
How about that?
August of 81. So just think about this, Cap. So we hear music all the time, but then having music videos and be able to watch them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you had cable, you got MTV. That was a huge deal. so many specialty shows there, too. Cap, there was a time where there was not just MTV, but there was video, there was video shows or video stations in which you had to pay to see your favorite music video.
Correct.
The box.
Yeah, it's insane.
Pay $3.95 because MTV wouldn't play my video. I wanted to see Michael Jackson Thriller, so I'll pay, what, call a 900 number or whatever it was and pay to be able to see videos. Music videos meant so much during that time. Yes, there's music you can listen to, but I want to hear it when I want to see. I want to see the video when I want to see it. MTV was so big now. And I asked you, Jake, like, what are you watching now on MTV? Because they're not running videos anymore. It's been a long time.
I don't even know what channel number MTV is anymore.
76.
Thank you. I'll put it on.
At least around here it is.
Yeah.
Jake, what's on now that you're watching?
It's, well, I don't personally watch MTV, but it's like Teen Mom, Jersey Shore returns with their kids, like stuff like that that's just going on. All reality TV.
It's a generational thing, too, because in our generation, you watched music videos, and now they just have reality TV shows. That's pretty much it.
Crazy.
Ridiculousness.
What's a music video?
Yeah.
See?
Exactly. Let's go to Edgar in Crystal Lake talking to Sean. Hey, Edgar.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to mention something that you had said, that it really wasn't a suspension with Deshaun Watson.
It was
the
not.
Only thing I have to say. Well, the only thing I would say is that he did, you know, decide to sit out and with the intentions of sitting out. And then whether he got paid or not, I think he technically got paid because the allegations started coming out about a month or two later.
He got his whole salary last year. He just said, I'm never going to play for the Texans again, and he refused to play.
I understand that, but it's also the fact that he got put on the exempt list, and that's why he got paid in the first place. Had he sat out without that, you know, it would have been a Le'Veon Bell thing where he just never got paid.
But it was not a suspension. Let's be clear.
Yeah, no, that's definitely not a suspension. But because of that exempt list, you know, he didn't have a choice whether he could play or not. So even if he wanted to come back, I don't know. It's just a thought.
All right, thanks, man.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, appreciate it. 312-332-3776.
That's inaccurate, right? Well, yes, there.
Well, what he's saying is he got paid because they put him on the exempt list. His team and the Texans agreed to do that as all the allegations came out. But he said, I'm never playing for this team again.
That, I remember that.
So,
yep.
Let's go to Matt in Streamwood. Hey, Matt, what's up, Sparkles?
Hey, Cap. Hey, Hoodie. Thanks for taking my phone call.
Yes, sir.
In regards to that Tevin Jenkins, that is very upsetting to hear about, especially since Ryan Pace did not listen to the medical when they said the reason he's fallen is because he's got a bad back and might need surgery. He still had to have him and make him put in a position to be, what, the left tackle to guard Justin Fields and Andy Dalton's backside, to make his line side, to make sure that he's not available with a bad back going against elite levels with a bad back. That, I mean, that's just ridiculous. And that's why I'm so glad when Ryan Poles came in, he decided he needed an assistant GM to help him go over to review talent and the draft and for the roster to have a second set of eyes to say, maybe I shouldn't have done this. Maybe I shouldn't get a guy with a bad back as a second-round pick if he cannot have a bad back and go against elite-level talent.
All right. Appreciate the call, Matt. Thanks a lot.
I understand your point. I'd still be pissed off if it doesn't work out because – even though Pace is not here anymore, Cap, the point is that I don't want anything to slow the progress down of Justin Fields. I want as much protection around him as possible. So even though Pace is not here, I want it to work out, him and Borum, even though those are not Eberflus and Poles picks.
Correct. They're Bears, though.
Yes.
All right, time now for the Cap of Jay Hood Cut of the Day, brought to you by the wonderful people at Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Best dining experience you'll have. Thank you, David Farm and Matt Moore. And try the lobster escargot. It's insane.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
For example, they were in on Tyler Naquin, went from Cincinnati to New York.
Thank you very much, Cap, for paying your fine. Is there a need for you to clear out the beak on the mic?
I thought
it's
I
so
had it
disgusting.
Off. I thought I had it off.
I mean, my God, man.
I turned off
the
mic.
It's one thing for you to sneeze. All right. I'm not going to fine you for sneezing. But the idea. Oh, sinus is snoring. Much
it
better.
Sounded like he got in a fight with the microphone.
It's awful. It's just disgusting.
Jesse. Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
All right, that is the Cap and J-Hood cut of the day today, brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Check it out. And when you go in, make sure you ask to see David or Matt, the owners, because they are the best.
Yeah. And make sure that you get some sinus spray on the way home. Terrible.
I don't need it now.
Unprofessional.
I'm good.
Well, I guess not. You cleared it out. You cleared the beak out on the mic.
I thought I had it off. I hit the wrong button.
Cap, on your panel, there's an on and off button. You hit on.
Usually Guff takes care of that.
See, exactly. You're not on TV. So bad.
I will be later. 6 o'clock today.
Oh, God. Much better. Oh. Shout out to the people in Inglewood. I was at Neighborhood Housing Services. Great housing fair in Inglewood on Saturday. It was awesome, Cap. A lot of businesses trying to get people in homes and learning about banking and everything else in West Inglewood on Saturday. So shout out to Neighborhood Housing Services for putting on a great show and a great event.
Thank you to them. Thank you to all of you for listening, watching on Twitch every day at twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Have a great rest of your day, Jonathan. Thank you, Jake. Thank you, Shay.
Ah, the beak, nice and clean now.
I'm headed up to Fleet Feet today in Deerfield because Darren Utnick and I, he's the CEO of Bernie's Book Bank. They're a great sponsor of the Walk is One Chicago coming up September 22nd. Have a wonderful, great day, okay?
So long, everybody, from Chicago.